Hello, thanks for tuning in to Learn, Grow, Succeed, the leadership podcast with me, Tom Hallett. This podcast is all about providing you with insights and tips to help you on your journey towards exceptional leadership. Hi everyone, it's Tom Hallett back on the Learn, Grow, Succeed podcast. As ever, thank you so much for downloading, streaming and listening to us on this lovely day wherever you are. Now, today's podcast is all about well-being and how you as a leader can encourage and support well-being in your team so that you can enjoy all of the benefits of having a robust and resilient team. And I think, you know, those words, robust, resilient teams, are something that's so needed, all the time, but particularly now through COVID times. And looking after your well-being has never been more important. In the UK, we're just going into lockdown 2.0. And, you know, it's tough. It's tough when people are at home all the time, sometimes with kids at home, trying to balance everything is tough. So hopefully this will give you some top tips for you and your teams. Before we get into the bulk of it, if you're a new listener to the podcast, then a very big welcome. And as our regular listeners will know, you can find a transcript of this podcast at our website. So give us a Google, XL Communications, or it's www.xl-communications.com. On the website, there's also loads of other resources that you might find handy. There's all the backlog of podcasts you can listen to. There's white papers, there's blogs, there's all kinds of good resources there. So go take a look and have a little read when you've got some downtime. So back to the topic of well-being. Being concerned about the well-being of your team is a quality of all great leaders, and this has never been more poignant than this year as we have all battled through the COVID pandemic all around the world. And as we continue to fight the virus, our physical and mental health and well-being has become one of the main themes of this year. Unfortunately, I suppose that's not generally for good reasons. So supporting your team's well-being is crucial, and yet unfortunately it can be one thing that slips when businesses go into survival mode. On the flip side to that, I am very sort of pleased that when I'm talking to clients at the moment, well-being is now actually moving really up the agenda, the priority list for companies. They're understanding they need to support their people in this area. And indeed, a recent PwC report, if you go onto the PwC website, shows how employee well-being is now in the top. Sort of the top three primary concerns of CEOs around the world. So although it's for tough reasons that everybody's considering well-being more at the moment, I think in the long run, it's a really good thing that people are now more aware of it. Being able to spot if your team are struggling with their well-being and being able to offer a real practical solution is a must for leaders and managers and just people in general at the moment. So today I'm going to talk about three key areas that I think we should focus on to help support the well-being of the people you work with and the world around us as everything continues to change through COVID, but also, you know, in general this will be applying long after COVID-19 has moved on. So the first thing that I think you need to be very consciously aware of is managing health concerns of your people. You know, first and foremost, managing those health concerns at this time has to be a priority because it has moved up the priority list for people in general at the moment. So you must have excellent communication with your employees on any health concerns that they have. And as the COVID situation is ongoing and changes are happening, you need to be constantly monitoring the feeling around the health risk to your people. So also, make sure your team are kept up to date with information about COVID in your area, in your country, in your region, wherever you might be listening to this. The chances are they will be, but do check in, get people's opinions as well. You know, there is a lot of fake news out there on COVID as well. So do use reliable sources to find out what's going on and do talk with your people and hear their thoughts and concerns about what's going on. Also, you know, every business has approached remote working differently. Wherever you are in the world, most places for a period move people out of offices. Some have reopened, some haven't, some are having a bit of a mix in the middle. And some have moved to, fully flexible remote working policies, allowing employees to decide where and when they work from. That's what we've done at Excel. We've moved to a fully remote working policy where people can work from wherever they want, and that is for a long-term change. And that is something we've done, yes, in a response to the current situation, yes, in a response to the current health concerns, but also we feel like it's actually a really good business move for us. Now, I won't get into that element of this for this podcast, but we have recently just published a white paper all about the different levels of remote working that businesses can adopt. So do go over to the website and check that one out, because it's a really interesting read. Whether you're looking at changing your working policies or not, it's good just to know. But anyway, back on to managing health concerns. It's important to allow employees to feel in control over decisions which can impact their health. Have you got very clear policies for self-isolation whilst COVID's going on? What I think I've seen in people is when there's unclear policies around what they should be doing if they are self-isolating because a family member or someone they've been in contact with has contracted COVID, it can lead to real uncertainty, and actually it can lead to real animosity towards an employer if it's not clear and thought through. So I'd encourage you to do that. And like I said, make sure employees feel in control over decisions that could impact their health. So the second point that we're going to go into is about alleviating stress and anxiety. Now, I'm not going to give a magic bullet here. If I could tell everybody how to alleviate stress and anxiety, I would be a billionaire. But we can give some really good tips, hints, tools to help people to alleviate stress and anxiety. Now, since the pandemic, health professionals have seen a 20% rise in severe mental health problems. As the extraordinary situation takes its toll on the nation's and the world's mental health. COVID might not be the exact cause for stress and anxiety among your team, but it will certainly play a part. People might be worried about their job safety, the health of their family and friends. They might be having to deal with extra or more difficult tasks at work due to an increase in workload or other team members being off sick. They may have children at school due to self-isolation requirements, or depending on what your lockdown in situation is like where you live. It's critical to maintain communication with employees to check that they are coping and to take action if they're feeling overwhelmed with stress or anxiety in their roles. This is something you really should be taking preemptive strikes against and not waiting until it becomes an issue. So keep in touch regularly, even if it's just an email or a message or a call, to see how they are. You go in without an agenda, and it might be that that takes 30 seconds and they say they're fine and you don't need to delve any further, or it might be that you need to dig a little bit deeper under the surface. Typical actions many companies we work with are implementing include switching up roles to support individuals who might be struggling, so juggle what their workload looks like, what they're doing day to day. Rotate employees from high stress to lower stress positions or departments, if that's an option for you. Offer extra support in the form of coaching. I think this is something that is really, really powerful at the moment. Coaching can go in all sorts of directions. That will help alleviate stress and anxiety for sure. It can also help them improve their effectiveness, capability in their roles. And something that can be just as effective as coaching is mentoring, to help employees feel secure in their roles and make sure that their workloads are not unmanageable during this already difficult time. So, if you want to go into the difference between coaching and mentoring, we have a fantastic podcast with one of our trainers, Tom Phillips, from probably 6 months ago now. So look back for that one to look at the difference. Both can be done internally within businesses. Coaching in particular, you can look for external support to do that, and there's all sorts of resources out there to do that, from companies such as us all the way through to individuals who offer sort of life coaching. But do make sure you have a credible coach if you go down that route. This is, of course, for part of the next essential approach, and that is offering emotional support to your people. In the new normal, it is becoming increasingly difficult to foster the same relationships we once had. Until the lockdown, many individuals didn't realize just how important their interpersonal working relationships were. As well as offering work-related assistance, your team will also be looking for you for emotional support, to be a strong leader during this unsettled period, to give them a bit of a rock to rely on. Make regular time with your team. Now, that is difficult at the moment. I find myself on hours and hours of Zoom calls every day. And yes, this could involve doing some more, but you have to prioritize your people. So do look at booking regular Zoom or conference calls for discussions with your people. But also, if you are checking in from a well-being and emotional support perspective, don't book these in as one-to-ones where you're also going to look at objectives or KPIs or however you measure performance quantitatively in your business. Book these in purely as a chat to discuss life and how people are feeling and what's going on for them, because you need to separate those things. You'll never have a deep conversation around the emotional support people need if you've just been talking about the fact that they, I don't know, just about to smash their KPIs or maybe not quite got there yet. These sessions, they don't have to be long. Plan in 30 minutes, but it might not take more than 10, 15 at the end of each week, where you can talk to your team and encourage them to share with each other anything they have on their minds. A good thing to do to sort of bridge that gap between work and home life is just looking at wins and challenges from the week. And I personally don't feel that these should be pigeonholed into it has to be a work win or a work challenge. You know, it could be something at home, because people who enjoy hearing about it and talking about it will just be a good way to vent. And also, don't underestimate the importance of checking in with your employees about non-work related topics now more than ever. So as I said, do separate when you can work and non-work related topics. Show a little bit of interest in what's going on in people's lives. They'll appreciate it, because we all struggle a little bit with being at home at the moment when we're in lockdowns. So the fourth point is encouraging a work-life balance. The irony of what we see in the world at the moment, what we're seeing with all our clients at the moment, is hundreds, thousands, millions of people around the world have moved to working at home most of the time, if not full time, and yet work-life balance seems to be more out of balance than ever. One meme that someone sent me the other day said, instead of calling it working from home, we should call it living from work, because the balance is all over the place at the moment. We need to be able to spot the signs that your team are not striking a sufficient work-life balance. And this is something that all great leaders and managers should possess, is being able to see when people are putting in hard work because they need to and they want to, and when people are just maybe stressed and that's leading to not getting that balance right, because in the long run, that won't be sustainable. Suppose an employee's work starts to slip from their usual high standard. In that case, if they seem disengaged or start to show signs of presenteeism, it can be a sign that individuals are suffering from a lack of balance. And this has increased since the rise of remote working this year, as I said. It's important for your team to have a good work-life balance, which you can encourage with the following. Focus on productivity rather than the hours they clock up. I'm being asked a lot around accountability when working at home, because you can't see when people are in the office. But personally, is actually the hours you're working a little bit of an old-fashioned way to look at things. Make sure your targets you're setting people, the measures that you've got in place, are really good ways of measuring productivity, not simply the hours they spend sitting at their desk. Make sure your team get enough breaks and time away from their desk, especially if they're working from home. Now, again, when they're at home, you can't force them to go for a lunch break or force them to have a tea break with you, but just encourage it and just discuss the fact that actually 10 minutes away for a cup of tea or maybe even a proper lunch break can actually make you a lot more productive in the time following that. So actually it's a good investment. Review their workloads regularly. As I said, do look at the outputs you're getting from people as a measure, and be constantly assessing this and seeing where the balance should be. So you're pushing people, but not too far. Make sure people take holidays. This is probably not a big issue in the past, but now we're seeing so many people are coming up to the end of 2020 with days and days and days of holidays in the bank because they've not felt like they should take it because they can't actually go anywhere. Well, yes, we can't go for a nice summer beach holiday this year. However, taking time away from the office is more important than just whether you can get a suntan or not. So, do encourage it as much as possible. Finally, let's look at how to be an exemplary role model to help guide your team to a better well-being. Now, this is quite a long podcast this week, so we'll just blast through this last section. All of the strategies outlined in this guide will not have much of an impact if you insist on burning the candle at both ends yourself, and that you're never taking time off or you're failing to look after your own physical and mental well-being. We can't be in the situation where you're saying, do as I say, not as I do. You need to be leading the charge here. Leaders can really fall into the trap of sacrificing themselves for the good of the team, but in reality, all teams need leaders who are a great well-being role model. Not only because if you do it, they're more likely to do it, but for all the reasons we discussed before. If you're not taking a break, if you're not thinking about your physical and mental health, you'll eventually break, and then that's not good for anybody. So often the leader in any team is the one who is the most stressed, takes the least time off and works too much and overworks themselves. Make sure that is not you. It is a long-term game, this. It is not short-term. Working that extra hour that makes you a bit too tired, not taking that day off to spend time with your family, it's going to hurt you in the long run, and really the short-term benefit's not worth it. So in summary, five strategies for you to focus on to help your team increase their well-being. I'll manage their health concerns, alleviate their work stress and anxiety, in as many ways as possible, offer emotional support, encourage a work-life balance, and finally, do all those things yourself. And just my kind of final thoughts, like I'm a talk show host, it's understandable that during the pandemic, your well-being, both as a leader and in your team, might have suffered. And if you want to improve both your own and your team's well-being and enjoy the benefits of having a powerful and resilient team because of this, then there are people out there that can help. Yes, Excel can be one of those, but there is hundreds of organizations out there that can support you. So this could be in the form of development programs to look at stress management, time management, resilience development, and those kind of things. It can be one-to-one coaching to support your teams, and that kind of thing. So do head over to our website to find more about what we're doing in this area. It's a very important part of what we're offering to clients at the moment. Or give us a shout in the office, drop me an email, tom.hallett@xlcommunications.com. It's on the website again. And I'd love to have a chat with you about this and see what you can do to support your teams, whether that's with us or anybody else. So as ever, thank you so much for listening to this podcast, slightly longer one than usual today. Please do subscribe on iTunes or Spotify if you've enjoyed it so that these pop up in your inbox every couple of weeks or so. And we've also got extra podcasts dropping all the time at the moment. There was a great one with Graham Shaw from a week or two ago, who is one of the most watched TED Talks in the world ever. So do check that one out. So look forward to coming out of your radios next time, and take care and stay healthy. Bye-bye.